Welcome to Lakemount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
I want to talk today about the dwelling place of God. Last week, we looked at what it is to experience the Father's blessing and His anointing. And we looked at the Aaronic blessing, how Aaron the priest spoke blessing over God's people every day. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord turn His face to you and be gracious to you and give you His peace. And we looked at what it is to have the face of the Lord turned towards us. Today I want to look at what it is, what happens when we turn our face to the Lord. Something that we learn of God is that from the very beginning of Scripture, we learn that He's relational. That when we turn ourselves to Him, He's already turned Himself toward us, longing for us to respond. James 4 verse 8 says that if we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. And God is holy, and therefore our turning to Him is different than turning to any other person or any other thing. Because He's holy, we must be holy in our turning. And it's a turn, when we turn to God, we're turning away from everything else that is not Him. St. Augustine said this. He said that, "You have made us for Yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in You." Our hearts are restless until they find rest in You. To find ourselves in God is to find ourselves at rest. It's to find ourselves in our ultimate purpose. It's been said, home is where the heart is. That saying, I Googled it. Trust me, I didn't walk around with this knowledge before I Googled this. But this expression is generally attributed to the Roman naval commander Gaius Plinius Secundus. How many knew that? Anyone? Just me? Just me and Wikipedia. He's known to historians as Pliny the Elder. And this statement, home is where the heart is, basically what it means is that home is not defined by geographic residency alone, but rather home is defined by where you sense your roots and where you sense your belonging. This is why when some people grow up in situations that are adverse and there's struggle or there's abuse or there's just a coldness emotionally, what happens is they do all they can to get away from that setting that was called home because really their heart is longing for a place called home. They're longing for a place of deeper belonging. Other people can live somewhere for many years. They could say, grow up in Canada, move somewhere else for, you know, when they're 20 years old and live there for 50 years and yet always feel that this is home. Because there's a sense of being new to what is, at one point, what was all new. Now, after many years, there's this sense that belonging is still somewhere else. I knew a Christian global worker, we used to call those missionaries. I knew a Christian global worker who lived in Asia for 10 years before she changed the time on her wristwatch from Toronto time to where she lived. For 10 years, she was calculating, she would look at the time and it was what time it was here. Why? Because her heart was still here. This was still home. Home is a sense of safety and belonging. It's a place where we want to be. Where is home for the disciple of Christ? For the follower of Jesus? Where is home? Based on the definition that I'm trying to unpack here, beyond geography, beyond even just your home country or nationality, beyond even just a family of connection, what is truly home? Would you look with me at Psalm chapter 90? just the first two verses. First Psalm of Moses, he opens with this thought that I want us to unpack together this morning. Psalm 90, verse 1, he says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Moses is saying, Lord, you have been our dwelling place. In the Hebrew, that word that is translated dwelling place in the English is a Hebrew word, me'on, and it means dwelling or habitation or refuge. Lord, you have been our habitation. You have been our home. You have been our safe place. You have been where I feel safe. You have been where I feel at rest. You have been where I feel that I belong. You are home. And this is where we dwell. Oxford defines dwell as to live or stay as a permanent resident, to live or continue in a given condition or state. Lord, I long to dwell. I long to reside where you are, and in fact, in you. The permanent residency of God. See, God is big enough for us to dwell within. And dwelling and habitation is different than visiting or visitation. It's different than, you know, I'm going to connect with God, in a time of worship. But instead, I'm going to live my life out of the foundational relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been our dwelling place. You've been our home. Listen, throughout all generations. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Can I tell you something? God is good at being home. He's been doing this forever. He's the home of the people of God. See, Jesus said in the New Testament that I'm going to build my church. He spoke of Peter that he was speaking to later picks up on that in his epistle, and he talks about Jesus being the chief cornerstone. Jesus referred to himself as the cornerstone that the builders rejected. Jesus is the foundation of home for the believer. Jesus is the foundation of this spiritual home, this local church family. We find ourselves at home in God. What does it look like when God is our home? That's the question I want to deal with this morning. What does it look like when God is our home? Would you go with me into the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 to 12. This is what the Apostle Peter writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church, to you and I here today, finding ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ, called together into the family of God. This is the word of the Lord for us today. But you, verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. There are four things that I want to draw our attention to out of these verses pertaining to what it looks like when God is our home. First of all, out of verse 9, number 1, we have a new identity. When God is your home, You have a new identity. Now, don't let that just fly over your head. You're going to need to sit with that for a second. What it means is you have a way of identifying yourself that needs to be checked by your salvation experience. The way that you identify yourself needs to be edited and needs to be spoken back to yourself in such a way that it lines up with God's word. Because listen, where God says something, he creates, and what God says of you is not a mere opinion, and it's not an aspirational thing that eventually we'll get there or whatever. This is actually who you are. You have a new identity. Verse 9 is loaded with what it means to have a new identity. One of my challenges, you know, in preaching week to week is I feel like once I dig into a text, I could preach a series out of just one verse because it's so loaded if we just take our time with it. So let me encourage you to dig into this. But listen to what it says. You are chosen by God. You're not here by accident. You are chosen by God. I have a friend who I'll never forget when we were at their wedding and the speeches were being given on the wedding, you know, at the banquet at the end. And she stood up and she talked about being adopted and spoke about how she loved her dad and her mom. And the way that they walked in a different time, in a different space where adoption was a whole lot easier than it is now. And as the nurses came in and there was, you know, you could, you know, they had a few kids that were available for adoption and she was the first one that they brought in. And when her dad laid eyes on her, "Don't bring me another child. This is the one. She's mine." And she described being chosen in such a way. And I don't mean this facetiously. She described it in such a way it almost made you jealous to be adopted. Honestly. And I think that's actually a good New Testament paradigm because we are actually adopted into the family of God. We're like, right? Like we were grafted into spiritual Israel. We were chosen. What it means to be chosen, that God saw you and said, "I want her." Right? I want him. That God looked at you and said, "This one was born in Zion. This one belongs to me. I'm going to arrange the events of your life to get you to the point where you're going to make a decision that I'm just trying to get it to, that you'll make the decision because Daddy wants you to come home." You're chosen by God. You're a royal priesthood unto God. You have this function in you that you're a royal priesthood, that you have royalty and priesthood all in one. Like I said, you can do a whole series just on each. You are royal. You're a kingdom of priests, other translation put it. You have been brought in to a royal priesthood where God has taken you from whatever your identity was before. Imagine the census office came to your house and said, "By the way, you don't know who you really are. You're actually royalty. By the way, there's been a mistake. You're royalty. It's your face that's supposed to be on the back of the quarter." You're like, "I knew it. I've always felt that way." You're royalty. I mean, you're chosen by God, but then you're brought in and your identity is shifted from common to royal. And you have priestly function. You're a holy nation. That means, holy means set apart. A nation is a community of people. You're set apart into a community of people who are chosen and are a holy royal priesthood. That you are brought into family. You're a holy nation. It doesn't matter if you have, challenging family ties to the family of your origin. It doesn't matter if you felt unwanted. It doesn't matter if you feel estranged. It doesn't matter. I don't mean it doesn't matter like I don't care. What I'm saying is what eclipses that experience to your heart, if you can let Jesus do the talking, what eclipses your rejection, what eclipses your pain, what eclipses your sense of not belonging in the world is this reality right here. If it can get imprinted on your heart, you are brought into a holy nation. You belong to God and to one another. We're brought into spiritual family. We belong. We belong to Jesus, is what it says, a people belonging to God. That means that you're not your own anymore. It's funny, like we talk about Jesus being Lord, like it's a concept, but it's not just a noun, it's a verb. Like he's actively Lord in your life. That you belong to Jesus. That means you check with him before you do stuff. Why? Because you're not yours anymore. You belong to him. You are out loud worshipers. This is part of your identity, by the way. A people that declare the praises of him. Not think the praises, not eventually get to it. A people that declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. We are out loud worshipers. This is a part of our identity. That we declare the praises of him. Oh, I'm not a good singer. Not in the verse. I don't play an instrument. Doesn't matter. I'm shy. Didn't ask. I'm kind of quiet by nature. Okay. We are out loud worshipers. Can I get an amen? Right? We are people who declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have been so transformed. We can't bottle it up. We've been transformed by him. Right? And we are called out of darkness into his wonderful light. See, there is this experience of transition from one way of living to another. I remember back in 2003, most of you were there. Phone's ringing. Do you guys remember when the power went out along the entire eastern seaboard? Remember? Except for Grimsby. Do you remember that? Except for Grimsby. It's crazy. At the time, yeah, really. At the time, I was here in the office. Lisa was at home. We were living in Burlington at the time because we had just moved here in January of, started here. January 1st, 2003 is when we started here. And we were living in Burlington and I was oblivious. I didn't know the power was out. We were still enjoying the air conditioning, whatever. And Lisa calls and she's like, oh, you know, what are you going to do? I'm like, what do you mean? Well, power's out everywhere. You know, maybe we should, I don't know if we can get into the stores. I was like, I'll go check. There wasn't Superstore yet. I went to Sobeys, the Canadian Tire parking lot. There was a Ferris wheel operating. There was a, we had a whole like town fair going on. We're like just living in our best lives while everyone else was like, you know, grab some groceries and hide in the basement, Ethel, you know. And we're just living our best life. Why? Because there was still power here. But the contrast, as I left the light and entered the darkness. One thing I noticed was the streetlights kind of hide all the smog when you're going over the skyway. It was like, ooh, when it's really just your headlights, you're like, wow, we breathe this a lot. Anyway, the point is, the contrast between darkness and light is as stark a contrast as you can get. We are people who are called out of darkness into the light. That's better, just in case you wonder. It's better to be in the light than to be in the dark. It's better to have illumination and revelation than to be confused and struggling, wondering where to go. This is our new identity. So what's it look like when God is our home? We have a new identity. All of those things I just named. We're chosen by God, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We belong to Jesus. We're out loud worshipers. We're called out of darkness into his wonderful light. Secondly, what does it look like when God is our home? We have a new reality. Look at verse 10. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That's a new reality. That's a before and after life. And contrary to much of what kind of passes as pop theology in this culture, that you can be on the right side of God's mercy or the wrong side of God's mercy. Like, I don't know if you knew that, but like, everyone's just like, oh yeah, there's just mercy for it. Well, yeah, mercy is available to everyone. But Peter says, once you did not receive mercy and now you have. It's a bigger deal than we're reacting. Once we didn't know the mercy of God, now we do. What is it that God works in us? Well, it's grace. What does God's grace work in us so that we can receive mercy? Repentance. Repentance is so powerful that I actually don't come to God and justify myself, but I come and I throw myself on His mercy and I admit I'm wrong and you're right. My nature is not perfect. Yours is. My inclinations, the things that I want to give myself to in my flesh, it's opposed to you. And what I need is grace to give me repentance so that I can unlock the mercy of God. And Peter says, when you have been born again, you move from someone once you'd not received mercy, but now you have, and it's changed everything. It's a before and after kind of experience. I don't know if they do commercials like this anymore because we've become very, very, very sensitive as a culture. But I remember when there was commercials for things like Weight Watchers and they would show the before and after pictures. Do they still do this? I don't know. I feel like it would hurt someone's feelings. But they used to have the pictures of this is what Matt looked like before. It's like, wow. It's like there's two of them, right? And then this is what he looks like now, thanks to Weight Watchers. And this before and after experience of something that has transformed, something that has changed, much more than losing a few pounds or getting into shape, but a transformation, listen, of being dead and coming alive, coming out of darkness into light, a transformation. A before and after. Once I didn't know what it was to receive God's mercy. Now I live in His mercy. Once I didn't have this identity that we just looked at in verse 9. Once I had no identity, I wasn't a people. But now I'm the people of God. This is huge. This is big news. I have an identity that grafts me in to the family of God. And it's changed everything about me. You know, the fact is that when Jesus came to planet Earth, He split time in half. We measure time by Jesus' arrival. It's 2022 because Jesus showed up and split time in half. There's a before and an after when Jesus is the Lord of your life. People who have been saved are transformed. He didn't make bad people good. He made dead people come alive. It changed us. We're new creations. And so we have out of that a new reality. This is what it is when God is our home. Thirdly, we have a new citizenship. Verse 11 says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world." Who's the alien and stranger? We are. This is easier for some of us than others. Listen, he says, "I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." We have a new citizenship. And what it means is, can I just put it bluntly? It means we don't fit in around here. Well, how are we going to be salt and light? Well, we're going to exactly be salt and light. What do you mean? Well, salt is very different than whatever you're sprinkling it on. No one eats a bowl of salt. I just want to fit in. That's gross. You're going to need a lot of water. Well, how are we going to be light? Well, light is very different than darkness. See, we don't fit in. We're contrast. And Peter says, we're living here as aliens and strangers. Now, I just have to check our 2022 sci-fi brains. He's not talking about aliens like E.T., okay? I know you know that, but some of you are like, oh, okay, good. I was wondering, is Bible Believe in aliens? Okay. When it's talking about living as aliens and strangers, this is like moving to a country where you don't know the language, you don't know the customs, you don't know the culture. Or even not just in moving, but if you develop friendship with someone from a totally different culture, totally different language, what happens if you have ever been somewhere where you do not understand the language at all? Well, it's hard to fit in. You stand out because people are talking around you and it just sounds like noise. And you don't know what they're saying, and you don't know what to, and you're trying to communicate what you want to do. And all of a sudden, you wish you knew sign language, but you start making up your own. You're, I need to go to the bathroom. You know, you're trying to find some way. You just block that visual. I could have done worse. Okay. You're trying to communicate. But you're alien and stranger to this culture. It's so different to you that I don't know how to communicate or pick up the practices. I don't understand what I'm seeing and what I'm sitting in. Why? Because it's so foreign to me. And Peter says, as a child of God, embrace that. You have a new citizenship. Your passport has been updated, and it's not your country of origin. It's your homeland of heaven that is first. I've got a citizenship from heaven. And that citizenship causes for me to pass through this world recognizing it's not my home. There's customs and cultures of this world that don't resonate with a child of God. Listen to me, when God is your home. When God is home, then there are things that are regularly participated in that it doesn't connect. I don't understand. These aren't things that I want to do. Oh, is it because you think you're better than everyone else? No. Oh, is it because you're just nervous of what people would think? No. Or is it because you're just trying to, you know, really show everyone some distinction and you're really working at it? No, literally from the inside, I don't have the magnetic pull that other people seem to have towards certain attitudes and behaviors and ways of celebrating or ways of grieving, ways of hurting, ways of having fun. I don't resonate there. Why? Because I've been made new on the inside and my citizenship is from heaven and the culture of heaven has so got into me, I feel like a foreigner here. And Peter says, embrace that. Live out of that. Not because I think I'm better, because I've got a whole new way of living. Do you remember that song? I've got a new way of living. I've found the new life divine. I've got the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding in the vine. Abiding in the vine. Anyway. There's a new way of living. Why? Because I have a new citizenship. Some of you who were born somewhere other than Canada, you know exactly what it to come in and you're finding your way. And wow, people really like hockey around here. Okay. You're learning. You're like, what is with Tim Hortons? I don't get it. Right? Like you're learning. Cultural thing. What? Because there's subcultural attachments, things that are just the norm. There are things that are the norm for a child of God that actually cause for me to feel almost, using that magnetic analogy, it's almost like the magnet flips. You know when you play with magnets? Okay, good. You know when you play with magnets, you can make them attach real quick, or you can turn them around and it pushes the other one away. There's something flips inside when I've been born again, and what used to attract me, now I feel I'm repelled from it. Not judging people, not putting people away, but what's happening? On the inside, what used to pull me is now flipped. I'm pulled towards something else. Huh? Where am I pulled? I'm pulled towards my home, God Himself. I've got a new citizenship. And Peter says, I'm going to urge you to do something. Embrace your new citizenship. Embrace that you're alien and stranger. And listen, abstain from sinful desires, hear me, which war against your soul. See, what's happening all the time is we're getting worn down if we're trying to accommodate what should not be accommodated. And we make room for mindsets and attitudes that are actually warring against our soul. How's it warring against my soul? I'm just like everyone else. Oh, no, you're not. You're born again. And when you are born again, you have a new citizenship. And that new citizenship gives you new cultural instincts. And there's all kinds of things inside of you that if you start making room for it, it's a war on the inside. How many know what I'm talking about? There's a battle on the inside of things that just, man, this just grates me. I can't put my finger on it. It's not just a thing someone said, or it's not just the, there's just something that just feels off. What is it? I've been born again. And Peter says, you know what? Embrace it and lean into the culture of heaven. Let God be your home. And let that begin to become the culture of your life so that you're living in peace with God. Home is where the heart is. We live here on a visitor's visa. We're passing through. And the culture and the practice of people without Christ is alien and foreign. It doesn't mean, again, we're better or we're judging. It means that we see it almost as an observer, and our witness is by contrast. It's salt and light. It's darkness and light. There's this contrast of coming at life totally different. Finally, what does it look like when God is our home? Again, we have a new identity. We have a new reality. We have a new citizenship. Finally, verse 12, we have a new assignment. Look at it, verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans. We don't use that word anymore. I'm not suggesting we do. It's just the version I have. I'm not saying call your neighbors pagans. Hi, pagans. Okay, that's not going to work. Okay. It's just a Bible word for people who have yet to come under the lordship of Jesus. That's it. Okay. It's not better, worse, but it is a distinction. Can I say that? It's a distinction. There is a difference between darkness and light. There is a distinction between before and after Jesus. Live such good lives among the people that are before receiving mercy, the people before Jesus. Live such good lives among them that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. We have a new assignment. And in this new assignment, you might want to write this down. In this new assignment, according to this verse, our actions speak louder than words. I'm not saying don't use words. I'm just saying that there's a lifestyle that begins to witness. There's a lifestyle that begins to shine. There's a lifestyle that just begins to have a slow and steady permeating effect like salt. It just begins to transform the flavor and create some thirst. Our lifestyle declares a different culture, not just our words. We witness with our life. We find that with this new nature, this new identity, our new citizenship, what happens is that we find that we start to love, because God is home. We love what he loves. We hate what he hates. You know, we had a few days with Ryan and Jenna's boys, and Ryan was born in Edmonton. He has a citizenship from another place, and so he cheers for the wrong hockey team. He doesn't know it, but God's working on him. And so I had a few days to myself with the boys. And I thought, this is the opportunity to bring them into the culture. They cheer for the Oilers. They think Connor McDavid, well, he is a good player. I can't say anything. And I was trying to say, who's your favorite team? Oilers. Want to know why? Because it's Dad's favorite team. They didn't get that by themselves. You have to stay up till whenever to watch an Oilers game. Where did it come from? It came from Dad. Right? When God is my home, when God is my Father, what happens? I start to love what He loves. But then you start to hate what He hates too. That's the other part. See? But just by the osmosis of relationship, he's just learning the sport. Probably has seen only a couple of games, but he's, let's go Oilers. Why? Because I love what my dad loves, because that's where my home is. I hate what my dad hates. Why? Because I'm picking up his passions, what his likes and his dislikes. When I have made him my home, my new assignment is, I find my affections start to align with his. This is my assignment, that it starts to begin to permeate my life. I love his presence. I love his word. I live under his favor through obedience, through this transformed nature. Once I hadn't received mercy, now I have received mercy. I find myself living in the mercy of God, and it animates my heart to begin to praise him and come out of darkness into the light, and I'm serving him, and I'm finding the more that I'm with him, there's things that war against my soul. There are things that are trying to erode my conviction and pull me down, but as I fight back, I fight back with the knowledge of God. I fight back with the knowledge of what he loves. I fight back with the knowledge of what he hates. I find myself drawn into his affections, and this is what begins to transform. And Peter says, here's the fruit of that. You start living a different kind of life, and it's a good life. And that good life speaks for you. And then when the world says, there's something wrong with those people, there's something about the Christian worldview. We're living in this time right now that somehow the Christian worldview has become so, antagonized. There's something to be ashamed of. It's somehow there's hatred connected to Jesus. It's somehow what has been right has been labeled wrong, and things are getting flipped. And what happens? Accusation comes out of that. But Peter says, don't sweat it. Don't try to fit in. Don't change the message. Just embrace that you're an alien and stranger, but live such a good life that when the accusation comes, people just have to glorify God and go, you know what? I was wrong. I can see the citizenship of heaven has transformed you. When God is your home, something changes. Everything changes.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at lakemount.ca or download our app for your mobile device.